Today's word is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 to 32. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Good morning, church. Happy New Year to all of you. What a great day it is for us to be gathered together and worship our good God, especially on the very first day of the week and also on the very first Sunday of the year 2025. May our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit abide with all of you and bless you in 2025. The title of today's message is Ready to Give Up. You might go, "Pastor Hansen, what do you mean? What are you talking about? We just got started." I know it's a strange title for a New Year's sermon, but did you know that people who make New Year's resolutions on average give up on their resolutions by February the 1st? Most people in the world, on average, will fail at their New Year's resolution within 1 month. That's just a statistical fact. So even before you get halfway through the year, people are already done. They've given up. But I'm curious as to how many of us are giving up something that we resolved to do last year. And because it hasn't come true, we kind of throw up our hands and we say, "Well, it wasn't meant to be." And we just give up. The reality is that many people in this world are hanging on by a thin thread, about to give up, ready to give up on their marriage after years of trying. Others attempted to give up hope for a friend or a loved one. And you might have been praying for a loved one for years and years, and suddenly it just hits you. You know, maybe I should just stop. Maybe I should just give up. It's not working out. It's not happening. Then there are still others who feel like no matter what they do to change things, nothing ever seems to work. Like, why? Why even try? Why continue down this path when I don't see any change or any difference? It just doesn't work. Do you ever feel that way before? We all feel that at times. The temptation to give up on people, relationships, projects, hopes and dreams, sometimes on ourselves, to give up on ourselves. But before we give up, church, the Lord calls us today to remember the truth of this parable, the parable of the mustard seed. Some of the disciples and followers of Jesus were tempted to give up. They were saying, "Was following the master worth it? Was it worth it to follow this man? Would it make any difference in our lives, in people's lives?" John the Baptist's question, his question was lurking under the surface, lurking in his heart and mind. Do you remember the question that John the Baptist raised to Jesus? He's like, "Are you the one? Or shall we look for another?" You know, that question probably was lingering in the minds of Jesus' disciples as well. Is he the one? Is he really the promised Messiah that all the Old Testament prophets were pointing to? Could this carpenter's son from the town of Nazareth, can he pull it off? Why was he taking so long? You know, could he affect the powerful political structure of the Roman Empire or the religious authorities in Jerusalem? I believe we can all empathize here. Evil seems strong at times. Change takes so much time and patience. progress is difficult and slow, impatience and discouragement grow in our hearts. And what happens is that it leads to a sense of self-blame. And it's then that we say, if I only had more faith. Have you ever said that to yourself? If I just had more faith, a stronger faith, things would be different. If I had enough faith to face life's slow process or journey, like, what's wrong with me? My faith just isn't big enough. As if everything depended on the size of our faith. We spiral, right? We spiral subjectively into misguided thoughts of our own inadequacy. What we do is we begin to self-doubt, question ourselves. We fall into this death spiral. The negative mood that arises within us drains our energy and spread to those around us like a contagious disease. But this parable has a few hopeful things to say to us before we give up anything or anyone in this new year. And the first thing that I would like to share with you this morning is the fact that Jesus wants us to recognize the power in the small things, the little things. The mustard plant in our passage today, as you may know, was an herb. It was planted in the gardens of Palestine at that time. And there was a type of mustard plant that grew quickly from a tiny seed into a bush and then into a tree, eventually reaching the height of 10 to 12 feet tall. Now, the mustard seed were so small that the naked eye could barely see them. Somebody wanted to discover how many mustard seed it took to make 1 gram. And do you know how many mustard seeds make up 1 gram? Take a guess. 700. 700 mustard seeds make up only 1 gram. Isn't that interesting? That's how tiny it is. The naked eye could barely see them, yet the result was a strong branched tree in which bird could not only perch, but also build nests. Now, what I want all of us to do is focus closely on the central character of this parable, a man. That's all it says in the passage, a man. In another Bible translation, it puts it as a certain man, but this parable is, again, about God himself. And so if we try to understand the context of Jesus' own very words, we see that the field represents the world, and the Son of Man is a sower. And so when we understand that context, we begin to grasp the meaning behind this parable. The Lord himself is a sower of the mustard seed, which grows to gigantic proportions. And the seed is the gift of faith in us, his gift of faith in us. And when that grows in us, we're planted in the world as living examples of what the power of God can do to heal, to renew, and to restore. See, Jesus' own life and ministry exemplified, demonstrated the meaning of this parable. We can all recall Jesus' own biography, right? God planted a tiny seed in an obscure little town called Bethlehem. He grew there in wisdom and stature. Then Jesus came forth proclaiming the kingdom of God. And his message of hope and love set people free. Then the cross, the resurrection followed. Unrelenting growth that could not be stopped. And then the Pentecost, and then the birth of the church, unleashed the power of the gospel. The power of God to save sinners, both Jew and Gentile, as the gospel spread to all nations. And if you look through that lens, it was a very small beginning. But history tells us, what that tiny seed in Bethlehem has done. It has changed the world and it has made history. Surely the early church found great hope in this parable. And if you're a member of the early church being persecuted and marginalized, I have no doubt that this parable would give you hope, strength, and inspiration and encouragement, because as they were facing these overwhelming odds, they understood that a faith, a tiny faith, even a tiny faith, can move mountains. The Old Testament image that comes to mind is found in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 17, verses 22 through 24. This is what Ezekiel's prophecy says. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar, and it will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On a mountain height of Israel will I plant it, that he may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird in the shade of its branches. Birds of every sort will nest, and all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. Amen. When Jesus told this parable, he wanted his disciples, and he wants us to dare to believe that what was happening before their eyes was the beginning of something miraculous, something supernatural. The beginning of the spread of the gospel throughout the world. God was working out his glorious salvific purpose for the entire world, starting with an ordinary and unlikely group of disciples. By the way, if you wanted to start a new movement or like a religion, the 12 disciples that you see in the Bible are not just the right ones to start with. Are not just the, you know, most ideal formula for success. You don't start with 12 disciples who are just all over the place, who are not that well educated, right? Some of them who are just not liked by their own people. Some of them even look down upon their own communities. And so they weren't those kind of, you know, kind of people anyone would expect to spark a movement, start a movement. And so, you know, you just don't start with them, right? What you want to do is you want to carefully choose and select, right? Those that are competent, who have certain qualities, you know, gifts, skill sets, talents. But Jesus didn't choose those obvious candidates. But he took an ordinary bunch of people and used them to change the world. The second part of this parable is this. Jesus said in another passage, if you have faith the size of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it'll move. When we are tempted to be discouraged, we need to remember that it's not the size of our faith that matters, but the greatness of God's power and the certainty of God's promise that makes all the difference. What Jesus does is he lifts our inward intention or attention off of our own insufficient faith to the immensity of God's resources. And that's what our faith does. Faith doesn't make us look inward, but faith makes us curve outward, not inward. See, the natural default setting of sinful humanity is we're curved inward, like this way. And what faith does is it changes the curve away from ourselves to God, like outwardly. That's what faith is. But then some people have this misunderstanding of faith. They say, you know, well, faith is something that, you know, I need to muster up, or I need to generate, or I need to, you know, it's something that I need to stir up within me. No, but the fact of the matter is that it's not about the size or how immense or how big your faith is. No, it's about whom you have placed your faith in. That's what faith is all about. That's actually what Christianity is all about. It's not about having faith in faith. You just don't put your trust and confidence in your own faith. Faith is not all in all. Faith is not the end goal. But faith is simply how we claim and embrace the promises of God. Amen? It's how we connect to the power of the God of the universe. When we're tempted to be discouraged, we need to remember that it's not the size of our faith, but the immensity of God's power, the faithfulness of His promises that truly matters. And all of us, we're all called to do. Plant the seed. That's all we are ought to do. We're to plant the seed and leave the results to God. Have you ever wondered, how do you know if a person has a real, genuine faith or not? That's the question. It's not how much faith you have, but it's about whether you have faith at all. So my question for you this morning is, do you have faith? It's as simple as that. It's either you have it or you don't. You either put your trust and confidence in the finished work of Jesus Christ or you don't. It's not a matter of degree. You either have faith or you don't. But then the question that consumes us, the question that we're often possessed with is, why is my faith like this? You know, how come this person has more than me? How come my faith is so weak? How can I get more faith? I want to challenge all of you in this brand new year. Change that question. Change the tone of that question. Instead of asking, what's wrong with my faith? How come he or she has more faith than I do? Change it to, do I trust in the promises of Jesus? Do I trust in the promises of God? It's a simple yes or no question. Right? And that's my point. It's not how much you have faith or comparing yourself to others. The real question is, do I trust the finished work of Jesus Christ? Do I trust the promises that God has made to me about my present circumstances, my situation here, and even my future? Yes or no? And the amazing truth is that even the smallest seed of faith, just the tiniest bit, God will never despise. God will be honored by it, and He will work through it, and He will bless it. I once heard a story about a church in Taipei, Taiwan, a church called Church of the Lepers. Maybe some of you have heard of this church before. The work among these rejected people with leprosy was begun by a great lady named Lillian Dixon. It's called the Mustard Seed Ministry. A very small seed of trust was planted, and the power of God took hold of that ministry and did something spectacular. Lillian believed that God had called her to begin the work. And so she trusted Him fully and just completely and obeyed God. And what happened next was remarkable. Money began coming in from all over the world, and the ministry just expanded beyond what anyone could have imagined. Over the years, the ministry established clinics, orphanages, children's home, schools. It helped nearly a million people in Taiwan. Lillian even earned this title such as Mother of Lepers, Mother of Orphans. Isn't that amazing? Now, of course, there were moments when she wanted to give up. She wanted to let go of everything. But God took that tiny seed of faith and grew it. Grew it into a great mustard tree, into a great ministry. the Lord wanted to show the world what he could do through one lady who had a simple grain of faith. And now all the glory goes to God. If you want to search it up, you can even look it up on YouTube, Church of the Lepers. It's amazing. It's amazing to see what God can do through the small faith of one person. Brothers and sisters, God is still on the move, as he has ever been since the creation of the world. He is actively at his work, transforming lives and shaping hearts. And he wants us to make us his miracle for those that are around us, for our community, and even for the world, showing what he can do through us. But it's not just about us. God uses broken, inadequate, imperfect people to reveal his power and demonstrate who he really is. When we reflect on what God has done with that mustard seed, we begin to see his great work in our own lives. From the very moment we first responded to the gospel, we've been invited to surrender our burdens to him, to lay everything down before his feet. And what he's doing through this is that he's growing a mustard tree out of you and me. And through that growth, we can become communicators of hope to those around us who are ready to give up. People need to hear this hope from others like us who know what a difference the Lord can make. We're not called to be perfect, but we're called to be messengers of hope, agents of God's grace. They're just discouraged people everywhere in our lives, just desperately searching for a place to rest, refuge, a safe mustard tree that they can perch on. You know how this English conversation cafe has opened up for us at our church every Wednesday? How many of you know? Not that many. See, it might seem to a lot of people, what difference is that going to make? You come to church for that once a week, maybe for an hour, and you have conversations with people that you don't know very well. Right? And you might think, some of them, you know, come and they're not even interested in hearing the gospel. Some of them might not even remember the conversations that the two of us have. Why? Why so much effort for something that seems so small? Maybe it seems like there are other things that could have a greater impact. But brothers and sisters, let me remind you this once again. Don't despise the little things, because God can take even 1 hour of your time, just 1 hour spent sitting with someone, listening to their story, being patient and present, and God can make it into something extraordinary. It's not because of us, but because of God. It's because of his power, because of the movement of his spirit. God can take the smallest things and transform them into something beautiful and something glorious. And that's the final twist of this parable, right? Once God grows a mustard tree out of our seed of faith, what happens? The worried birds, those searching for hope and healing, will flock to what we have discovered. They will perch on its branches, finding refuge, encouragement, and comfort. And perhaps just a reason to hang on, even if it's just for one more day. The power of a single text message is a reminder of how even small acts can have a profound impact. We might think, what difference is that going to make in the grand scheme of things? But how many lives have been saved because of one text message sent at just the right moment? How many testimonies have we heard from people who are at their lowest moment, just ready to end it all? Stories like, I was about to jump off that bridge. I was about to take that bottle of pills. But then, at the very last moment, you sent me that text message. That message saved me. Church, don't underestimate the little things, because God doesn't. He takes the smallest seed of faith, the faith that you have placed in His Son, Jesus Christ, and He multiplies it. He does something miraculous and powerful. And it's all for His honor and His glory. And again, it's not about us. It's not about you or me. We can't take the credit or glory, because it all belongs to Him. But God has already shown us His power. And that same power is available to us before we give up, or before you give up on anything in 2025. And so I urge you, I encourage you to plant the mustard seed of faith and be ready to be amazed at what He will do. Even in our church and through our church, God will accomplish His purpose. So church, as we embark, as we step into this brand new year, take that little seed of faith that's precious in God's sight and plant it, and wait for God to do something special. And when that seed grows and grows, it will impact other people's lives. Make no mistake about it. People will notice, people will flock, people will gather, and they will be drawn to what God is doing. And so give all the glory to God, submit this year to the Lord, and trust that He will have His way, and He will receive all the glory. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for being just so good and faithful to us throughout year 2024, and we thank You for giving us a brand new year, 2025. God, as we embark in a brand new year, we just pray that we would not despise the little things, but that we would realize the impact, the potential that even little things have when You are in it. And we know when You are in it, Lord, people's lives change and history changes. And so God, help us not to focus so much on how much or how little faith we have, but to focus on whom we have faith in, the object of our faith. We place our trust, our confidence, our hope in You, Jesus Christ, the Son of living God. And so, Lord, receive all the glory through all that we'll do this year and through the things that You have in store for us. We entrust this year, 2025, into Your mighty hands. Pray that You would lead us and guide us to fulfill Your plan for us this year. We thank You. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.